All right, welcome to Balogun and Broad, and this is where we talk about everything business, economy, and of course, money. And today we're going to be not just talking about the economy in general, we're looking at the banking system and how this one way or the other will help with those of us who are interested in investments, those of us who are interested in how the economy is going to grow. In fact, I started the show by telling you that sometime last year, Mr. President had come up with the idea of supporting the CBN's move to consolidate an initiative which they called, you know, banks recapitalization. Now, in 2023, 5 days after the CBN said that the banks would need to raise new capital. I'm sure that people did not know that banks needed to raise new capital. Anyway, let me give you some background. According to the presidency had thought it necessary and important to consider the capital adequacy of Nigerian banks in the light of the projected $1 trillion economy in 8 years. Now, the presidency actually said that they supported the banking sector's consolidation initiative for the CBN, saying that it will help the country to grow its economy to a new height. Now, of course, when we're talking about growing the economy, we're thinking about, oh, production, how do we open more companies, how do we export more? But banks also need to recapitalize. If you've been following the news, you would know that several banks have acquired several other banks. In fact, one of the stories that I saw was a Nigerian bank acquiring a bank outside of Nigeria, somewhere in Kenya. But my guest is going to be talking more about it because he's the expert, and I'm just going to lean back and listen to all that he has to say. Gospel Obele is a friend of the house. He's an economist, one of my favorites. I love to have him on the show every time because when he's here, I get to learn something new. It's so good to have you join us, Gospel. Good afternoon.
Hey, Marianne. Good afternoon. Really, really good to hear your voice again. You're looking good as always.
Thank you.
I'm happy to be doing this again with you.
Great. I'm most interested in this bank's recapitalization because, you know, on a normal day, for me who's interested in the economy, I've never really thought much about it and how it works. But for the benefit of the lay person who's listening to the show, what exactly is this recapitalization about and why is it so important?
Yes, recapitalization is really important in every financial system in every country. And that's because in view of development, you know, sectors always evolve. And as sectors are evolving, just the way we want Nigeria to become more prosperous, we want, in this case, the financial sector to become more prosperous. Mm-hmm. And in becoming more prosperous will mean that they can increasingly become healthier, having more cash, they are more liquid in their ecosystem, they're stronger banks, their governance made up of people who can really take the decision to a whole new level. And when you aggregate that across board with many other banks you have in the ecosystem, you will have a stronger financial sector from the case of deposit money banks, at least. And then you also want to think of the context of protecting shareholder funds. Mm-hmm. You know, many people have invested in banks in the past. And the truth is, when a bank recapitalizes, it increases and secures, you know, the investment you have with the bank. You know, and the stronger a bank becomes, the more resilient your investments become, meaning that the bank has the potential to stand the test of time. And then we've seen lots of institutions in Nigerian banks, one or two Nigerian banks, who have really proven over time to resilience in each other. And we'll speak more about them as we go on.
So I'm curious, so because, you know, half the time when people are talking about finance and securities, banks don't come to my mind. I'm thinking about investing in like telecoms and some other things like all companies. I never really have thought that, you know, you can actually invest in banks. So let's talk about Nigerian banks and why it's good investment.
Yeah, I mean, top of mind is the fact that, number one, you want to invest in sectors that deal with large numbers, which is why you want to think of telecoms, you want to think of FMCG.
Oh, my goodness. We've lost that connection with Gospel. Gospel, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Sorry, we lost that connection with you. We lost the connection. You went blank. But
okay,
I think
can you hear me now?
Yes, it is better.
Okay, great. Yeah, so in many cases, people look down on banks because of their limited understanding, you know, and also many banks have also not done the hard work to educate people some more. And when you think of banks, you think of the fact that these people have almost 19 million, 20 million people who have deposited money with them. That's the potential 19 million savings, current account, everything all joined together, realize that that's a massive volume economy. All right, and when you trickle down the numbers in terms of the value of savings people have, the value of transactions they conduct on applications, on online banking platforms, in fact, how people even consume banking products, you know, how businesses consume banking products. Take, for instance, Fidelity Bank now. You know, they've been a very leading light when it comes to leveraging on the law of large numbers to deliver value in the Nigerian ecosystem. They've gone the route of, you know, improving savings, they've gone the route of improving deposits, they've gone the route of enabling SMEs, more SMEs, you know, find financial security in terms of banking and product solutions to drive, you know, what they're doing at the moment. So if you think of that scale of numbers, it also tells you that there's a lot of value in that scale, all right? Because people would always spend every day, people would always transact, you know? And as people's financial situation gets better, you know, they do more in terms of financial transactions.
Mm.
All right. So the bank you choose to work with in this context goes a long way to also help you secure your investments. And as a result, reasons why recapitalization really makes sense.
I want to push you further on this again. You just mentioned a bank that you think is viable. What are the characteristics of knowing the vibe? How can I, as a layperson who wants to invest, know how viable a bank like the one you just mentioned is for investing?
Yeah, the landscape of investing is, thank you so much, Maria. The landscape for investing is gradually changing. You know, prior to now, people begin to look at the financial bottom line metrics like profit, like earnings per share, dividend, and all these things. In as much as those things are good, it's safe to say that almost most Nigerian banks are, you know, they tick the boxes in that order. But then how do you now know an institution that you know that you can be secure with within the mid to long term? You technically want to look at it across the ESG metrics, environmental, social, and governance metrics, you know, looking at how their processes work, how they churn out products, who they churn out products for, how sustainable are their products, how sustainable are their processes, how are they really looking out for the economy and the ecosystem where you live in context, all right? And in all fairness, Fidelity Bank has really done well in that order. If you want to think of the real sector, you want to think of small businesses, MSMEs and co, you realize that the bank has really evolved in its level of affiliation to those who really drive entrepreneurial and ecosystem prosperity in Nigeria.
Mm.
And that's a big tick, because you want to be affiliated with institutions who are also projecting themselves, actually doing social good, all right, in the context. So consumers are increasingly becoming aware, and because spending choices have become tougher, all right, it's becoming difficult to wake up and say you want to affiliate with brand A over brand B. The metrics consumers use to identify who they want to really work and bank with or interact with, I like the ESG metrics. Okay, how much of these, social engagement does this particular institution have in the limelight? Now, if you look at it again, the Fidelity Bank has also been one of those institutions that really led the light in terms of leadership, you know, gender inclusion on the board and in senior level management, you know, and that has also trickled down in terms of the quality of corporate governance as well, especially when it comes to driving home products and the growth of the sector. So it's largely around looking at ESG factors and how those environmental, social, and governance metrics have been top of mind. And you see many other banks are trying to really follow suit when it comes to that female-led leadership, quality governance, and diversification of product portfolio in core areas consumers are interested in. And Fidelity Bank has really led strongly in that order.
I'm sure we can talk about other banks who are in that category with Fidelity Bank. But before we talk about those banks, I know that back in 2015, if I'm not mistaken, or before then, we've seen several banks acquire other smaller banks. Let's talk about those acquisitions and how it also helps in the recapitalization of these banks.
Yeah, I mean, acquisitions are part of the journey, especially as institutions evolve, as time and seasons evolve. So to say, you also have institutions who need some form of revamping. You also have institutions who are also evolving in their vision, and they need to partner or go through a merger or an acquisition to help the next stage of their vision become a reality. And that's what we're saying. in many cases. And the banking sector will look like some very interesting M&As. In some cases, you also realize that many institutions sort of lose the culture that they grow or that they become known for when they merge or when they're being acquired by a bigger institution. And we have one or two banks who have really led in that order. And I don't know, you understand what I mean. But quite frankly, also, Fidelity Bank is one of those interesting institutions who have also positioned themselves in such a way that they're acquiring institutions, you know, outside the country, but also have a strong affiliation with, you know, what's happening locally. And that's also sort of helping to project that transnational impact. You know, when you look at the addition that you have the Union Bank UK, and, you know, how do you move on the frontiers with the next generation, and how do you create innovative products and all that? So you're leveraging the vast knowledge of the old generation with the energy, the vibrancy, the vision, the charismatic leadership of the new generation. And that, for me, is one culture mix that we probably say that, you know, would enable the future of the Nigerian financial sector.
You talked about losing, you know, like when you merge, for example. Let me look at the Access brand and the Diamond brand, and I think I don't know what other bank, whether First Bank acquired any. I'm just thinking about it. If you were to name the top three who have gone into these acquisitions and have continued to maintain that same brand, aside from, I mean, of course, Fidelity, you've mentioned a couple of times, which other banks can be on that same level?
Well, for me, two levels, actually. I think Access Bank got it right with Continental, because it was an argument of a training institution, and you have that revamping of the institution to take forward, you know, what is left, as it were.
Mm.
I think you still have to get it right with Diamond, because it was a completely different cultural landscape. You know, Diamond was this everyday banker, retail person, institution kind of people, you know, jumping right down the street, bringing it home very close to the average Nigerian, you know, and there's just a lot of sparkness and brightness and greenness, right, around what they did. In fact, Diamond Bank was very strong when it comes to supporting the SME ecosystem. It had really lots of 125 entrepreneurs who were really affiliated at the time with the Diamond brand and with the energy. I do not think that was fully, you know, captured within the vision of what it was or what it is right now under the M&A structure of the Access Bank. I think that retail feel, that brand touch, that positioning, the pulse of what made Diamond was lost or significantly diluted. So some may argue that it's not lost yet, but it's significantly diluted. Diluted because, I mean, Access Bank is more of a very strong corporate-facing institution, driving heavy investment in oil and gas and manufacturing. So we don't really much of the ideal type of retail bank.
Yeah.
So I think it was a struggle, and it's still a struggle for that institution to sort of evolve and support MSMEs or visibly, you know, support the retail ecosystem to evolve. So that dilution of culture, you know, is also a bit of a challenge. All right, because it also shows that our financial sector is not evolving in such a way that it sort of takes everybody along on the journey. All right, so you have some banks who are really trying to do that. Some others have lost the touch under the M&A structure. Some others are evolving to something else that is yet to be defined, quite honestly. So, and some others are playing up there, but we don't really know what they represent in terms of socioeconomic construct, you know, of who they're representing in terms of target market and all that. So I think it's a lot more around brand. A lot of Nigerian banks have to probably redefine their position. Some have also innovatively pitched their positions in creative business or in the creative sector, so to say. So they supported talent in the creative sector, they supported in areas where, you know, many young people are really struggling to evolve. In sectors that are largely seen as informal and unstructured, they have evolved to sort of begin to project those sectors as the future. You know, and they've done well for some stakeholders in that space. However, that market has to be democratized in growth, meaning that more banks have to come to the fore to say what they represent, to lead initiatives in the areas where they represent, to take on social, economic narratives and begin to build on that as in quote unquote bankable business models or solutions for the social problems we face. All right. So, and in all fairness, so the Fidelity Bank is strongly also tilting in terms of that diversification. You know, haven't done really well in the MSME space and the agricultural space, especially the agricultural value chain as well. There's some little bit of efforts moving to the food bank space, the fashion space, and all of that to also develop efforts in supporting people in the creative space. So, the call is just to encourage more banks to sort of, you know, think of M&A as an evolution into representation of who we are as a people, our diversity, bringing out the call of our diversity better, and not trying to, you know, just pitching the profits only. Because on ESG grounds, I don't think many banks will really spend the test of time on ESG grounds.
Let's talk about tiny banks, because every day you see them crop up, and I'm not going to mention the names because some of them might not like the fact that they're calling them tiny banks. But you know, we're seeing a few more of them crop up, and some of them are maybe mostly, like you said, the branding of these banks are not necessarily as clear as you'd want it to be. So you're still struggling as to understand where they are, whether they're leaning towards the BDCs, the Bermuda Change, or they are leaning towards certain markets, or, you know, it's very difficult. What would you be advising banks to do in terms of when they're going for branding? What should I, if I say, for example, HSBC, I should know what HSBC is tilting towards. What's their market? And, you know, what would be the direction that you'd ask the banks take when they're branding themselves or rebranding themselves in terms of this market recapitalization?
Thank you very much for the smart questions, as always, May. And so I'll think about it from three strands. There's the logical strand, meaning that what is the core value that your bank is trying to, you know, what is the core value you bring to the market? What problems you're trying to solve? Which, you know, and in that context, you're trying to work market, you're trying to reach another. What is that core value? So if you say, if you take this tablet, you know, again, it cures the headache. The value there is when you actually take it, you know, your headache disappears in court, because so that functionality there is the logic. So banks need to, a lot of banks need to review what their functionality is. What really are you doing to the table? It's not really about, you know, enlisting or being tier one, tier two, tier three, you know, whatever it is in that, you know, that order. But you need to be able to define what your value is in the market. I mean, if you point to some banks now, many Nigerians can tell you what it is you're gaining, you know, because the value is not, the only person who can tell you the value you're offering is the customer who banks with you. You know, that's the only way to show that your value has passed the test of time, you know, and, you know, the market you're trying to offer that value to understand it well enough to interact with you. Or the second bit will be, how you communicate that value, which is largely around storytelling, you know, and all that. And very few banks have been able to weave their value proposition to the cultural elements or the cultural nuances of the consumers or target market they're seeking to serve. All right. There's a reason why, there's a reason why Goldberg is more positioned in the Southwest. There's a reason why the Hero Lager Beer is more position in the Southeast. You know, there's a reason why those type of brands evolve to become regional focused brands, and you see that the communications are deeply woven into the day-to-day reality, the day-to-day or the historical dynamic or the traditional element of that region. All right, so and we don't see that as much in banks, you know, in terms of communicating their value proposition in such a way that it fits within the realities of the target audiences, their daily stories, their daily realities, and all that. On the third level, again, would be ESG. ESG would mean how you're moving from the value you're offering, how you communicate that value, to how that value is evolving within socioeconomic changes, all right? How that value is evolving within climate change, how is it evolving within the cost of living crisis, within rising inflation, within the fact that, you know, Nigerian businesses need to prosper. What are you doing, you know, vis-a-vis your core work and how you're communicating your core, you know, in light of what's happening right now, all right? So those are the three elements. So if you think about it very well, the brands are really stood the test of time, both in the banking sector and even other sectors, even globally, are brands that consumers have evolved to trust the most. And that evolution of trust is hinged very strongly on changes in times and seasons, you know, how socioeconomic landscape has changed, where I am right now as an individual, how this brand has journeyed with me as an individual, you know, how the world has evolved and how this brand has also increasingly become responsible, you know, in tackling or seem to be tackling.
We'll take a quick break. Forty minutes gone past the 5 o'clock hour, and this is Balogun and Broad. I still did tell you earlier on that we're looking at banks today, and it's very important that we understand how these banks work and how, you know, all the whole put together, and, you know, the businesses of banking, the investments in banks, the recapitalization of banks works. Because you see, we just go to bank, we put our money and we leave. If the money is hanging, we say our money is hanging. We don't know that sometimes you also need to look at what bank you're banking with, especially if these banks are interested in the kinds of business that you do, if they're interested in supporting, giving loans to those kinds of businesses. You have to know. Now, today I've learned a thing or two about, that's why I like when gospel is on the show, because I get to learn a thing or two about a thing or two. And now I know that if I am a creative and I want to work with a creative bank, or I want a bank to invest in what I do, then I need to understand what the brand of the bank is about. And he's talked about a few banks, especially Fidelity Bank, and what they're doing. But before we went on that break, we were talking about, you know, mergers and acquisitions. But let's finally talk about performances, how high-performing banks. And, you know, some people will just say, ah, banks are banks now. If they have more customers, it's better. I know, I used to know of a bank whose adverts would say they're one customer bank. And I used to think of, maybe because it was, I just used to think like, one customer. How do you own a bank and you have one customer? How is that possible? But I guess the idea was that, okay, so even if you're just one customer, you have all the attention of the bank, and, you know, they cater to you or whatever. And now we're beginning to understand that. But let's talk about the high performing banks. And then I want to go into how the banking sector can help also boost the economy, because many people will say that if there's not enough money in the economy, you know, what are we talking about? Which bank? How can the bank boost the economy if we don't have production, blah blah blah? But let's talk about high performing banks. And most of these small banks, are we going to see more and more acquisitions or mergers? Because there's certain banks that, if you ask me, they're literally fizzling out. You know, you really don't hear so much about them. And more banks are beginning to catch up with the future and what's happening in other parts of the world. And some of these banks, if you're outside of the country, you can still have access to them. And you can still, they even have banks that they liaise with, liaison banks like Citibank in the US and other banks. Let's talk about playing catch up on high performance banks.
Well, is there going to be some form of M&A in the future for the small banks? Yes, there's definitely going to be one or two, because the small banks are not really, they don't have what it takes in many cases to be able to scale in terms of delivery of the value, that we don't even know that what they're delivering in terms of value yet. And then in terms of even being able to meet up the competition as well. So is that many of them would come together to become a new brand, or they'll be bought out, bigger brands? However, it's also interesting that many of the banks are also competing on low causes. You know, interest in savings and all of these things are more or less the least of a bank's worry today. Because, I mean, it's just conventional. The average person, you know, needs to have a bank account. And however, there are still big-time financial inclusion issues in Nigeria. And we don't still hear anything yet that banks are seeking to do to, you know, close those gaps. What many banks are trying to do is to have their own fintech arm to be able to compete with fintech, you know, to other, without having that. I think that's a bit short-term in terms of vision. That's, to be honest with you, because you already have, many banks already have might and resource to scale. And in many cases, many fintechs don't have might and resource to scale.
Yeah.
All right, but they have grassroots intelligence. Many banks do not have grassroots intelligence. They have only minor resources. So you want to think of, is there a way to sort of collaborate between these big banks and identify those fintechs who have that position to scale or that ability to scale? Again, the problem again with many fintechs is that the value position is still at a very basic level. Save money with us, you know, or you can lend money from us. You know, how is that different from a bank? They tell you that, oh, if you go to the commercial bank, it takes a longer time. If you come here, it's faster. But you realize that, you know, very few fintechs are still within the radar. Even the fintechs that some banks have introduced, you know, I've literally gone extinct. So what I'm trying to say in terms of competition is the future of competition is in collaboration. Very difficult collaboration. I do not think that the financial inclusion challenge in Nigeria will be solved by independently playing on our skill set or advantages. Those advantages can become and come together to become a strong force for social good. And when they become that strong force for social good, then that particular bank becomes the new investment destination for lots of stakeholders. So banks have a lot of capital resource, have a lot of human resource, but I don't think they have a lot of thinking resource to engineer their strategy and positioning, you know, to become the future destination for investment. So, the competition will be in that order.
And do you think that with this recapitalization, that the CBN's goal is being achieved? Maybe in bits or maybe largely?
Well, it has some very plus, upside to it. I mean, when you recapitalize, it means that you're trying to push or stretch the frontiers of the financial sector towards more resilience, you know, more security and all of that. However, if you really cannot achieve much from recapitalization if you don't really fix lots of the fundamental issues.
Like,
you know, we need the ecosystem. For instance, controls. All right. For instance, controls. For instance, internal quality controls. For instance, FX thing. You know, people want to have access to FX within the Nigerian banks, and they want to access the FX legit. But you realize that, you know, even what we term as legal transactions and illegal transactions is just a blurry line. Many times, the very big issue is semantic concepts. Actually, how you define things. And how you define transactions. How you also onboard forms, fill forms, get things done within Nigerian banks. It's still very slow to a very large extent. So you need to upskill that and all that. Then you also have a lot of leakage within the banking sector, you know. Many, I mean, when we saw the redesign of the Naira, which is no longer a conversation today, by the way, when it was a conversation, I mean, part of the artificial scarcity was driven by the banks. All right. So, and that's to tell you that there are many more. And a part of the round tripping and artificial scarcity of the dollar today are also doing my best as well. Right. So you need to have a lot of cleansing of the system. Now it cannot be 100%, which is very clear. All right. So you need to have, in every choice, there must be a Judas, in fact, more than one Judas. So how do you achieve the goal of what you want to achieve in a sense, or your goal of a healthy financial sector with a level of healthy compromise? There's going to be compromise. And that's the problem. Lots of Nigerians think that it has to be black and white, you know, towards our prosperity game, our growth game. But in many cases, it's not black and white anywhere in the world, all right? It's whatever is progressing has progressed on the grounds of interest, all right? How do you bring interest towards alignment of a specific goal and objective? And that's where the banks need to evolve. That's where the financial sector also needs to evolve. Today, the bank is pretty much doing well in that order, but, you know, it all can be done if it's being driven from an ecosystem angle and it gets to benefit everybody that is
I'm more curious as a layperson. I remember when I was in uni and I was supposed to do my internship. I always wanted to work in the bank, and this is in the days of Standard Trust Bank, in the 2000s. And I really wanted to work in a bank, but they just kept saying, no, you can't work in a bank. But then with these mergers or these acquisitions, are we going to see a smaller pool of workers, or is there going to be an expanded pool? Is this going to be welcoming more people into the banking sector, or are we going to see it shrink?
Yeah, it's a mix of both. It's a mix of both, unfortunately, because taking from the downside, first of all, is the fact that when you merge, you cannot cater everybody, you know, within both worlds. So some will have to go, you know, so some will lose jobs and all that. However, there is also, there's going to be a rise of new positions and new opportunities due to the next frontier of growth as a result of that M&A, all right? And that next frontier of growth will also bring about new roles, new opportunities, you know, and all that. So it will now be the employees or the individuals within the ecosystem or even outside the ecosystem who have really done well in terms of upskilling themselves and get fit into the opportunity. Then you now have that, you now understand that banks are looking for, you know, institutions or people that can help push their capabilities, you know, towards the next level of growth and development. So that's another brewing market in terms of consultancy and outsourcing engagement. As the world becomes more AI-driven, you know, as competition becomes more fierce, banks are increasingly outsourcing. So it now depends on where you lie on that regard. But lots and lots of people in the ecosystem are under scale or unscaled.
Finally, before I take a few comments and then let you go, let's talk technology. You know, we have introduced a little bit of technology into the banking sector, but that's not necessarily been our biggest flex because it has been a problem, if you ask me. The downtimes that these bank apps have, the websites in themselves, transactions sometimes fail or are hanging in the middle. The National Assembly recently just wrote to the central bank to mandate banks to do something about those monies that hang in the air when transactions do not go through. And to me, I'm just thinking to myself, it's just a failure of technology or the fact that we've not been able to quite crack it. What would you be telling these banks as they're upping their game in terms of technology to what should they be looking at? Yeah.
Well, to be honest, if you're going to up the game in terms of technology, banks, things up the game in terms of technology as a country, because one is just a subset of the other, right? Look at what happened with the cable that broke down and you put over something like that, how you messed up your system. I mean, that's really, really, really unheard of in the 21st century. So we need to, by all means possible, fix technology, ensure that it's scalable. More Nigerians are adopting it. More Nigerians are productive with technology, you know, because there's still a gap. Even with the technology we have available right now in Nigeria, many institutions haven't learned the best use of that technology. So if you don't have enough technology, the little you have is not best used. Mm. All right. So you now need to have upskill technology talent to be able to deliver the type of products and solutions, you know, that banks are offering. And like you mentioned, there has to be policy to be able to address cyber attacks and all of these, like you mentioned, money hanging in the air, failed transactions, you know, and what's the speed of getting back paid. For instance, in the UK and other economies, when you pay for something and it was the wrong thing, the wrong transaction, or it was the false transaction, the money gets refunded back to you automatically. Right? So how do you build that kind of securitized or security-based ecosystem where technology itself is intelligent to refund monies and all that? I don't have to come to your bank to queue up and fill, you know, very, very useless forms and yet still taking almost 3 months to get my money back. All right. So Nigerian banks have to really step up on that challenge. And I think they have the financial capability to begin to learn best use of technology, even with the little technology they have.
Yeah. Well, I have to let you go, Gospel, unfortunately, because we have a very little time, and I wish I could take all the messages that I'm seeing here, but I don't have time. I really needed you to get everything off your chest, but don't worry, Gospel is always here to answer our questions. I will bring him back sometime soon. Gospel Obele is an economist and a friend of the house. Always a pleasure to have you here on the show. Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
All right,
really great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.